Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I so look forward to sharing this message because I know there are many listening that need God's touch. They need the strength and encouragement of the Lord because, let's be honest, we do get weary in our Christian walk. And the Holy Spirit was so gracious to give Paul the words to address this subject. What happens when we are tired and weary? And to do that, to find the answers, we're looking in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And on yesterday's broadcast, I won't take the time to read, but we were reading verse 5 through 10. And basically, Paul is saying we're not to despise the chastening of the Lord. And the meaning of the Holy Spirit that he intends in these few verses is not chastisement or punishment, but Paul is explaining that the meaning of suffering or hardship is the discipline of a loving father whose purpose is to educate his child. If you are not being educated, you're not a legitimate son. Now, nobody likes to hear anybody preach about suffering. There are plenty of ministries that talk about the favor and the blessing of God. And in fact, if you listen to some, you think, praise God, something's wrong with me because I'm not walking in that, or I'm not experiencing it. And yes, God has wonderful blessings. He is a precious, gracious, long-suffering, merciful God. And this, as the scriptures say, we shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness or the abundance of thine house. Nonetheless, we need to take the whole Word of God because Jesus warns us. He says, in the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We're going to have trials and troubles. Sometimes they are the direct result of our own rebellion and disobedience, our own sin. I'll call it what it is. And we bear the consequences. God is quick and merciful to forgive us if we'll come back with a sincere heart and repent and turn from whatever we were doing. However, there are a lot of times trials come to us has nothing to do with sin, but there is suffering involved. Jesus was absolutely perfect. He didn't sin, no, not once. And yet it says he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And I'm declaring to you, it's not just his passion, not just those final hours of his life in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross, but he suffered through his life. We don't know much about his early years, but in ministry, at one point he turns to the disciples and says, how long must I bear you? How long must I have to suffer you? You know, he had to deal with things, but all the things he went through, he blazed the way for us. As I shared on yesterday's broadcast, he's running the race. He's not only before you, he's beside you. He's before you to clear the way, but he's beside you to hold your hand and encourage you in the race that we're running. And so he wants you to know that discipline is a part. The trials that we go through are for our good. God allows them, just as he did Job. Now, you know, I have a dear friend. I'm laughing because this is really the truth. It's been a while since I've been in touch with her. But she told me she did not read the book of Job. She was a black sister. She was so funny the way she said it. But she did not read the book of Job. And it was like, I wanted to say, well, honey, it's in there. Because he went through a lot of unpleasant things. But we've got to take that whole book. You know what? It says that he was perfect and upright in all his ways. And Satan actually, he's, you know, preening himself before the court of heaven, and the Lord tells him, he said, have you considered Job? Oh, great. You know, thanks a lot, God. Anyway, he releases Satan to do his best, except to take his life. And in all of those things, Job didn't sin. And the Lord said he was perfect in all his ways. And he was a perfect and upright man, none like him in all the earth. Okay, I think that's exactly what is being said in those verses of that first chapter of Job. Nonetheless, he comes back and poor Job is suffering. He loses family, friend, his possessions, his status. Then finally, the greatest attack is his physical body, and the Lord allows him to not take his life, but he has severe painful boils, and he's quite wretched. He doesn't understand what's going on, and he cries out to God. He's not getting any answer. So, beloved, little Job didn't do anything wrong, but he was learning some lessons in self-righteousness, or not being comfortable in self-righteousness. Beloved, we tend to do that. Sometimes we do all that we know to do in our Christian walk, and we just get a little, you know, a little kind of pharisaical, thank God I'm not like those sinners, you know, I don't do this and I don't do that. Whereas the publican stood beating his breast, he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what was Job doing? Well, this is not a time to go in the book of Job, but just to be brief, he charged God with hostility and capriciousness. He charged God with injustice, and he was rebellious against the Lord. His suffering was, was not due to overt sin, but he erred. He made a mistake in thinking too highly of his ability to rationalize the Creator. And that's why God didn't really answer his questions. He just asked him all these questions as Creator God. And finally, Job says he gets a true picture of who he is, who God is. And he said he repented in sackcloth and ashes. And so he was restored more than he ever had in the beginning. And so God has less, just I took a time explaining Job, but beloved, I don't care what you're going through right now, and I'm not making light of it. There's times it's like, oh God, can I just go home? I felt that way at times in my life. And that's not an answer. The great prophet Elijah in the cave, he wanted to do that. He just, Lord, you know, I'm not better than my fathers. Just take me home. And the Lord wants us to know there is a purpose in all that comes to us, and he wants us to simply learn the lessons. What's important here, beloved? It's our attitude. The proper attitude we're to take toward suffering is that of submission. We're to be subject to the Father of spirits and live. What he says in verse 9, he talks about, we give reverence to our earthly fathers. Shall we not much rather be in subjection or submission unto the Father of spirits and live? That's what we are to do. And this submission I'm talking about is the same kind that Jesus had to, the same submission that he was willing to give to the will of his Father. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. You know, we get all excited, and when we hear preachers, preaching about the power of his resurrection, praise God, we have that same liberty. Praise God, Jesus is alive. He's been born from above, and he's now has a glorified body, and we're partakers of all that he has done. We're his inheritance, and we get all excited about that, but nobody wants to preach about the fellowship of his suffering. And that's the other side of the coin, beloved. So let's go on now to verse 11. I'm just sharing this. I'm trying to be as real as I can because, beloved, this is where the rubber meets the road. And I've been there. I know what it is to be really, really low. And it's not good. So I want to see you brought out of that horrible pit, amen, and have you established on a rock where he can establish your goings and put a new song of praise in your mouth, hallelujah, even praise unto our God. All right, verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Beloved, a submissive spirit produces the effect of his holiness in our lives, which involves a rich harvest of righteousness as well as peace. Just as a Greek runner of thousands of years ago, if we would run the race successfully, we must be willing to be disciplined. And I know it's not fun, dear. I know, honey, it is not fun. Discipline, though painful, later yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, I mean, have you ever started a diet program or an exercise program? Oh, come on. It is not fun. I mean, there's times I've been pretty faithful about exercising, stretching every day, and then something happens. I get really busy or I travel or what, and then I don't do it. And then I can go for weeks, months without getting into that regimen again, getting up early and spending time with the Lord and doing what I need to do in a physical way to keep shape and to keep in fit, to keep in shape and to keep fit. And it's the same with you. You know, you are a New Year's resolution. You start and then it just, you know, it's hard to discipline ourselves, and we can't because we're too weak. The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. But if we will ask for God's strength, He will supply it. And so this discipline, though it's painful, it will yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And this stands in contrast with the unrest and trouble which have preceded in the time of discipline or chastening. But there is more than rest after conflict, for the object of the conflict is obtained. Isaiah 32:17 says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever." Praise God. Now, let me go to Proverbs 11:30. There, the word of the Lord says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." Praise God. Hallelujah. The peaceable fruit of righteousness is yielded to those who are exercised thereby. What does that mean? Well, those who have, by practice and repetition, acquired the capacity of reacting rightly to affliction. And we know that the circumstances of our lives are dictated by God. He directs our destinies by His unfailing wisdom and everlasting love. Praise God. Well, I had hoped we're going to finish this week. I don't know. I'm just going to take it as the Lord gives it to us, and we're just going to continue to share God's Word. I invite you to tune in tomorrow. If you have prayer needs, I invite you to share those needs. The announcer will give our contact information. Thank you so much for joining me today. UCM Partners, I love you. Thank you for your prayer support, which is so vital, as well as your financial gifts, without which I could not continue on this station. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,